Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles, hour number 3. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Trent Williams, great. Going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers, going to be joining us. There's a lot of stuff. So there is a report out there that Matt Nagy is going to get fired. Andy Dalton, by the way, is starting now on Thanksgiving for the Bears. So it's a mess. It's very, very rare year. So think about these four candidates to be offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels for the Patriots. That's a very good. Now, he failed in Denver, but now he's been humbled a little bit. He's a very good offensive coordinator. Look what he's doing with Mac Jones. Brian Daboll. Look what he did with Josh Allen. Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City. He's one of the smartest guys ever. Andy Reid's a great mentor. Byron Leftwich, three-year offensive coordinators, work with Brady and Arians. So he's getting great mentorship. Kellen Moore of Dallas. You have five, I would say, better than average offensive coordinators available. You also have a very good defensive coordinator who Houston wanted to hire, and he didn't take the job. So Matt Eberflus, the kid with the Colts, he was offered the job in Houston. He didn't want it. Now, when a coordinator turns down a job, that's a pretty good coordinator. Yeah. So this is a rare year with excellent candidates. And because Denver may move off Fangio, and that's the best job. That's the best roster. They got to upgrade their O-line a little. It's not terrible. It's not Bears bad, but it's not good. But they got receivers. They have backs. They have corners. They're really good. I mean, they've got Peyton, the GM there. George Peyton, the new GM, is pretty sharp. My guys like him a lot. So Denver's the best job. So how do you beat him to the punch? You move off Matt Nagy now, and you get the interview process going, and you just make some young coordinator an offer. He's not going to say no before Christmas to his wife if somebody offers him $7 million a year or whatever it is, right? Like, sometimes if you're not the best opening, but you get first dibs at the candidates, that's a huge advantage.
Well, I don't think Chicago is a bad job. I would say it requires more assembly than Denver does.
They're too old defensively, and I don't like their offensive line at all.
No.
So, by the way, my concern about the Raiders' job, I don't trust the owner. My concern about the Bears' job, do I get my own GM? Because I don't trust that GM.
Well, yeah, I mean, they have to clean house at the same time, right? I mean, you would imagine that they're going to do that, right?
Yes, that would make sense. Because I don't think the Chicago job, Joy, is nearly as attractive if I get Ryan Pace. I'm not interested in that job. That's why the Raiders, which I think is an interesting job, but they've got literally the poorest owner. So there's some, and the roster's bad. I mean, it's Derek Carr and a Max Crosby and a lot of whiffs in the
draft. Only issue with Denver is they can't get the quarterback situation right. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get one of those high-profile guys.
True, but Denver's roster is complete enough. It's not desperate like the Raiders or the Bears. Like, the Bears have some desperate spots, like,
right.
And so do the Raiders. So if you give up draft, if I'm Deshaun Watson and I can choose Raiders, let's just throw this out there, like Raiders, Bears, Denver. Denver can give up picks to get me, but it's okay because they've got everything.
It's not going to cripple you.
They just miss me. You know, that's like when Carmelo Anthony went Denver Nuggets to the Knicks and he demanded to go, it forced the Knicks to give up everything. So he ended up being a $10 million chandelier in an empty house, right? Like, he was it. So if Deshaun goes to Denver, Denver can say, I'll give you four first-round picks. Well, Denver doesn't really have a huge need. They do need to keep a second-round pick because they need to get an interior offensive lineman. They're just average at O-line now. Deshaun can move around a little bit. So could Russell. So can Aaron. You don't need a great O-line in Denver, but it's got to be better than what it is.
Well, that's why it worked with Brady in Tampa Bay, because he's also not terribly expensive.
That's right.
So
And the roster
didn't need a lot.
Yeah.
So when you're an expensive quarterback and you're coming in and the roster needs a lot, that's a lot more assembly. To your point about what job is the best job. That's my only hesitation with Denver, though, is if are you going to get one of those top quarterbacks?
So let's say the best candidate is Bieniemy or Josh McDaniels. Those are the two best.
I don't know if Josh McDaniels is leaving New England.
All right, so let's say Bieniemy's the best. If I was Eric Bieniemy and I could choose, I wouldn't choose college. I would go pro. I mean,
Say in division at Denver?
I think Andy, you know, here's what'll happen, because Andy would hire Matt Nagy back. So Andy's going to promote Eric. He's going to want Eric to go hit a home run. And like Andy's confident, he's like, I'll take all my kids. But Matt Nagy will go back to Andy Reid. Bieniemy goes to Denver. If I'm Bieniemy, I take the Denver job. That's way more attractive to me. I get receivers. I'm set. The league's
more attractive to me than Chicago.
Backs,
yes.
Receivers, tight end.
But
I've
then
got stars.
You have your quarterback though.
Okay, but you're right. But I won't be blamed for that. So I have my receivers, my backs, my tight end. Fant's good. I got my corners. We moved off Von Miller, but that saves me money, and the guy replacing him is talented and young. So I kind of feel like my cap's okay. Deshaun at this point is not prohibitively expensive, and I can give up 3 firsts for him. So, I mean, like, if I was Russell Wilson, this would also be the most attractive place, but I don't think Ciara is going to dig being in the... She wants to go to Miami, New York. I get it.
I think the Giants makes the most sense for Russell Wilson.
Well, I'll
if say, you're going to leave Seattle, if you're going to leave a legacy place like Seattle, like, that's where his career is, where his legacy is. If you're going to say, I have to be... Because he has to force his way out of there. So if you're going to force your way out of there, you probably want to go somewhere like New York.
Yeah, and I'll say this
again. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best place for him.
Well, but I don't think New York...
Or Miami.
I don't think New York's without talent. Darius Slayton, Kenny Golladay, Tony, Saquon Barkley, Evan Ingram.
No, it's not a terrible situation.
No, I would argue it's deeper in talent than Seattle. Seattle running backs are all B and C. Chris Carson's never healthy. I mean, they're tight ends. Gerald Everett, okay, that's it. Will Disley.
There's just, I don't think there's any situation that is just plug and play.
No.
Like, I think Tampa was such a unique situation for Brady to go into that you can pick apart or have questions about every single one of these moves.
By the way, Jason Garrett, as Joy reported, Jason Garrett's been fired in New York, and the reason they're doing this is pretty obvious. They got to make a decision on Daniel Jones. So the Jason Garrett, Daniel Jones thing didn't work, so Joe Judge is going to put up Freddie Kitchens to say, well, Freddie and Baker worked.
Well, so Freddie also filled in for Jason Garrett when he was out for a game with COVID last year.
Yeah.
That's for the play call.
But it also gives you 5 or 6 games with Freddie Kitchen and Daniel. And if Daniel's no good, then you got to move off him. Like, you can't keep trying to convince yourself this is going to work. So we got some moving stuff. But I do think Denver, the Broncos, is the best available job. It doesn't have a ton of needs. All you'd need a quarterback, and I think you could land one. And by the way, here's another thing. If I had to keep Teddy Bridgewater for a year, I'm okay with that. I'm fine. Like, that's very much Alex Smith. Like, when Kansas City drafted Mahomes, they had Alex Smith, capable veteran. Well, Teddy could be that. We'll just say, Teddy, we're drafting a quarterback. Drew Lock's not our guy. We're going to give this to you for 1 year, and if it works, it works. But in the end, we're going to draft a guy or pursue a guy. So Denver's about as good. We said this with Tampa. Tampa was about as good a place as a quarterback could go. There were no needs except right tackle, and they solved it in the first round with Tristan Wirfs. Denver doesn't have a lot of needs. They need to be better on the interior O-line. It's
they
not
just
a bad
need the
space.
Most important position.
Yes, which is almost everything. by the way, I've heard a lot about all the college jobs. I have not talked about these college jobs because the lot of reports out there, Jimbo Fisher to LSU, I don't buy. Lincoln Riley to LSU, I don't buy them. So I'm not talking about them. I'm hearing a lot of stuff at USC. I don't buy those arguments either. Or those suggestions. So if you wonder why I'm not talking a lot about these college openings, I've heard the rumors on Florida, I don't buy them. I've heard the rumors on LSU, I don't buy them. And I've heard the rumors on USC, and I've got good sources, and I don't buy them. I don't think any of these places, I think LSU wants Jimbo Fisher. I don't think they're going to get him. So I'm not just going to talk. There's a guy at Baylor everybody loves. I'm not so sure I would leave if I was him. I can make $4 million a year, live in Baylor. You know, if your family likes it, I would wait for the perfect opportunity. I think LSU's got too much chaos. I think USC may be too political. And I think Florida could be better than both. Nobody will acknowledge it. But right now, they've got kind of a lack of talent, a recruiting issue. So that's why I'm not talking the college openings, because right now, I don't believe any of the rumors I'm hearing. I do not think Lincoln Riley or Jimbo Fisher are leaving A jobs for an A job. Just don't buy it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Well, he is the highest graded National Football League player. The entire league, any position, the highest graded player is Trent Williams, who's grading out at almost a 98 from Pro Football Focus. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. 12 years, 8 Pro Bowls. He's allowed 1 sack in 308 pass blocking attempts. You know, it's interesting. So you're in Washington, and then you come over to San Francisco. And I remember the day it happened, we were like, I didn't hear a rumor of that. That came from nowhere. But you were perfect for them because of Kyle Shanahan's run offense. So if I'm a sportscaster, right? Explain Kyle's run game the simplest way you can. It doesn't matter who the running back is. It could be a 6th rounder, a 5th rounder, undrafted. What's the simplest way to explain why it just works every year?
From the scheme part of it, it's kind of controlled chaos. You know, from the snap of the ball, you got players sprinting full speed in every direction. And that opens the backup to have there's not one place that he has to take the ball. He can take the ball anywhere he pleases. And when you're playing a very gap-style defense, which most people do, it is very hard to stay in your gaps when you got all these pre-snap motions and jet motions right at the snap of the ball. It makes it really tough. So to me, it's like controlled chaos. You got a bunch of people running a bunch of different ways, but it's all for a purpose, you know?
Yeah. So 8 or 9 games, you've had over 100-yard rusher. But you can tell in the last 2 weeks, Trent, the offense is really humming. What happened? Because it's clearly a different offense in the last 15 days.
Yeah. I think a couple things happened, man. We got a little more healthier. We got the people's tight end back, George Kittle. We got our rookie a little healthy, a little banged up now, but you know, he was pretty healthy for us the last few games. We got Jeff Wilson back, who's done a great job for us and has done a great job for us for the last few years. You know, Jimmy's back full speed. Jimmy's back healthy. And even myself, I missed a game, you know, the Colts game a few weeks ago. So I think, you know, we're getting our players back. We're starting to get healthy. And we got off to the start that we wanted. But, you know, week one, we lost two very important keys to our team, and Jason Verrett and Raheem Mostert. So I think that really hurt a lot, and I think we kind of found guys to fill those positions, and we started to, like I said, get a little healthier, get guys back, and I think that's been a difference.
You know, it's interesting. I was just telling Joy during the break, I said, you know, we talk about all these young quarterbacks. I said, the luckiest one is Trey Lance. He hasn't been hit. You know, he just gets to learn. You know, people forget that Mahomes got to play behind Alex Smith. He just got to learn. And Trey Lance gets to sit behind, because Shanahan's system is not for kids. It's a grown-up system. So you just tell me. I mean, are you seeing Trey Lance get better every week or two at practice? Do you sense it?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think everybody senses it. You know, Trey started for us in the Arizona game and played really well, even though he got banged up. But he gave us a chance to win. So, I mean, the whole organization is impressed with not just the player, but the kid that he is and how he approaches work every day, how he's, you know, always one of the first people to win, always one of the last people to leave. And, you know, him and Jimmy have built a beautiful relationship, just kind of helping each other along the way. And, you know, I think everybody is kind of excited to see what Trey will turn into. And I think we're also excited that he doesn't have to turn into that right now, that he has time to develop.
You know, as an elder statesman in this league, you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And so you're dealing with all these pass rushers all the year. And I always ask, whenever I get an offensive lineman out, I always ask him. A buddy of mine's Damian Woody, and he'd just tell me stories. If I said to you, who has given you the most trouble that I'd be surprised with? I'm not talking a Pro Bowler, but if I said there's this one guy, man, and he just gives me trouble, who is it?
That's a great question.
Not many do.
I mean, we know Chandler Jones is definitely one of the toughest guys to block in the NFL. You know, Von Miller is definitely one of the toughest guys to block in the NFL. You know, it's tough, man. I think of guys when you talk about a person that just really, like, really keeps me up the night before the game, and I don't think a lot of people say his name a lot. And this guy's like Olivier Vernon for me was always a pretty tough matchup.
Yeah.
Because he can do everything. He's strong as an ox. He's quick as a cat. And, you know, he's very, very smart, and he's very crafty. So, like, you know, you might not see his name on a bunch of all-pro ballots or Pro Bowl ballots, but when it comes to just having to wake up and go block that dude, he's one of the harder dudes to block that you don't hear about.
The Niners are a very physical team. And as you know, the league is very offensive. The Rams, I would say to a fault, are a finesse team. You're a very physical team. You guys give the Rams trouble. Is there a team, if I said to you, what's the defense that you face? Because the Niners offense is all about pounding the ball, the big guys up front. Is there a defense in the NFC that you think is what you guys are offensively? That's your favorite physical team to face?
Oh, yeah, that's let me see. It's a couple of them, man. You know, and they're not even in our division, but every time you play, like, Fletcher Cox and that group of guys down in Philadelphia, it's always going to be a fist fight. It's always going to be what we call an ice bag game where, you know, win, lose, or draw, you're going to have to go get in the ice tubs because that's how hard you have to play. But, yeah, when you say that group, it just instantly comes to mind because I've obviously been in Washington playing them twice a year, and then I played them each year I've been in San Francisco. And those guys are just a really physical bunch, and they play extremely hard, and they play to the whistle. And I think they, year in and year out, gave that chance, no matter how good the offense has been, gave that team a chance to be competitive.
By the way, Garoppolo's got this young kid, Trey Lance, breathing down his neck. And it's weird. Most quarterbacks hate that. And Garoppolo just kind of deals with it. He doesn't say anything. And it's like, we always say this, like a lot of these quarterbacks, they don't want to back up in the building. How has Garoppolo handled it so well?
You know, I think Jimmy G is an outstanding person. You know, he's an outstanding teammate, and he's one of the most positive guys you'll meet. But I think the guy who makes this situation acceptable and makes it easier on both guys is Kyle, because Kyle is just, he's so honest, and you know, he's transparent and he doesn't lie. And I think he's been keeping it real with Jimmy from the start. And he told Jimmy exactly what to expect. And if you know Kyle, you know that whatever he says is exactly what he means to do. So I think Kyle has done a great job of, you know, kind of allowing Jimmy to get comfortable, letting him know that it's not a competition, no matter what people say. You're our quarterback. Obviously, we got to make moves for the franchise, put the franchise in position to succeed, you know, for years to come. But when it comes to this 2021 season, I don't think there's ever been any type of competition or any nobody's looked at it as a competition that's been inside our building. And I think that all starts with Kyle and just being upfront and transparent about how you expect it to go.
Well, Vikings at 49ers is going to be a fist fight in the Bay Area. Cannot wait Sunday on Fox. By the way, Trent has a documentary coming out mid-December, December 14th, called Silverback, the Trent Williams story. It's an incredible story and journey about overcoming a rare life-threatening cancer And I'm a documentary fan and a fan of Trent Williams, so give it a watch. By the way, follow him on Instagram, TrentWilliams71 on IG for all his updates. You're a credit to the game. You're one of the great left tackles in the last 15 years. It's great having you on the show.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Pleasure being on. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. The great Trent Williams. Joy Taylor with the news. No.
Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I actually really like hearing that, because I think far too often front offices and coaches feel like they have to lie to players, and it always gets unnecessarily messy. Everyone knows what the deal is.
Garoppolo's the better quarterback today.
Yeah. And you drafted Trey Lance. He's the future.
Yeah.
You drafted him number three overall. He's going to be the future of this franchise. It's very obvious.
Yeah.
What's the point in lying? Just be transparent about it all the time.
Yeah.
Players know it's a business, especially veterans. Like, with young guys, you know, you might have to keep a little bubble wrap on, project sure. their ego a little bit. But, you know, once you're in your fifth, sixth year, you understand that this is a business and you need to move through the business the same way. Transparency yeah. just helps everybody in yep. business. It's everybody doesn't need to know everything, but you need to know what you need to know for you.
Yeah.
And that gives people confidence that they're not asking questions all the time.
I mean, it really is rare, Joy, that we have a situation where the starter absolutely knows that at the end of the year, you know what? If I was Jimmy G, I'd be thinking, hey, maybe I go to Denver. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it's not the end of your career.
That's right.
But, like, you hear it all the time. I hear this with dysfunctional organizations across sports all the time. Like, oh, this GM was like, yeah, go ahead and buy that house. And then 2 weeks later, you're traded.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Why? What is the value of behaving that way? It's very easy to be like, we don't know what the deal is yet. You're probably good. But for your family's sake, for your sake, maybe let's just hold off on that until we feel more secure with everything.
Right.
Didn't say you're going to be traded. Didn't say you're not going to be traded. We just don't know.
Yeah.
It's a business. We don't know. I can't tell you yes or no. I just think it's better to be that way. So the Seahawks have lost their last two games and they're last in the NFC West. And Pete Carroll said yesterday that players held a meeting to
Ooh.
Discuss their current issues.
Ooh.
Some of the leaders, you know, had an opportunity to kind of make sure that everybody's on the same page, to just to reinforce that this is a team and we're playing together and we're going to, you know, go through this, the challenges that we're facing together, and that we need to do it in really good fashion, and we need to be on it, and we don't have a moment to waste, and we got to maximize every opportunity to be at our best. And I mean, on and on and on. It was really impressive. How positive can it be? I don't know after this, but the guys are really turning to doing things right and getting better, like this week.
Pete is fed up. He said, how positive can it be? I hear you. He slipped that one in there. I mean, look, this is a bad situation for the Seahawks. You can be honest about it. They're 3-7. Like, the season is essentially over.
And Arizona and San Francisco are now playing great football.
Right.
And the Rams aren't, but they have a better football team. Like, Seattle, you know, we said this before, Joy, and I forget the team it was. I forget what team it was. I said a couple years ago about a team, I said, they're in a rebuild. They don't want to admit it. It may have been Philadelphia. Seattle,
probably, yeah.
Seattle's in a rebuild. But because they won 12 games last year and 11.
And because they have Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and he is the, you know, the eraser. It's like the Lakers roster's not good. LeBron will get back and you'll think it's good, but it's not. They can't defend. The Seahawks are in a rebuild. They've missed on too many first-round picks, too many draft picks. Last four drafts, they've got two good players, a punter and a receiver. And it's like they got to blow stuff. I said yesterday, you got to trade Bobby Wagner, get picks. I would consider moving Jamal Adams had you not given up the farm for him. But this, they have O-line issues, cornerback issues. I don't think they're dynamic. I think they need another receiver. I think they need a back. They got a bunch of C and B backs that are never healthy. So,
well, things fell apart. I mean, to your point, they won 12 games last year. This is a dramatic drop off. So obviously something's wrong if you go and you're 3-7 now.
Yeah.
And as Pete's saying, like, there's not a whole lot to be positive about. They have to make massive moves. But the way to be aggressive in sports and not stay where you are is to admit, okay, we made some mistakes. Let's not double down on these mistakes. Let's be aggressive and try and fix what's obviously wrong here. The Seahawks quarterbacks have been sacked 33 times this season. Only the Bears and the Ravens quarterbacks have been sacked more. They have one touchdown on 20 possessions in two games since Russell Wilson returned from injury. So he's not in a great place right now, which is, look, he's going to get back to being fine. He's one of the hardest workers in the league.
By the way,
but
when Pete left USC, the offensive line was a mess. They had like four guys that could play. What's a mess again? I'm telling you, it looks just like USC. Young offensive coaches came to the Pac-12, Chip Kelly and Harbaugh. the recruiting, Pete wasn't keeping his eye on the ball. He was looking to the NFL money, and he hands the USC off to, I think, like Lane Kiffin. It was not the same. They had bad O-line. And now Seattle's O-line's a mess. Kingsbury, McVay, and Shanahan in the division, and his schemes, again, look outdated.
But at this point in the season, you've got to try and at least finish on a high note and see and evaluate what you have there. You can't just bail on right. the rest of the season, which is why, obviously, the leaders on this team, which there are a lot of, are trying to get some things together. You don't just want to go into the offseason on the note that they're on now. So Lamar Jackson missed Sunday's game with a non-COVID illness. Ravens coach John Harbaugh was very hopeful yesterday that Lamar will be able to participate in today's walkthrough. He said he felt good today. I don't know how good, but he feels much better today from what I was told. I haven't seen him. He was on the sideline for only the third game of his career. He started to feel sick last Tuesday, missed practices on Wednesday and Thursday before returning to full practice. Then the symptoms came back on Saturday. He's never missed back-to-back games. And Tyler Huntley went 26 of 36 for 219 passing yards. Was also sacked six times. They host the Browns on Sunday night. Then the Browns have a bye, as we know, because we've talked about a lot with Baker today. And then they host the Browns again. So they host the Browns twice in the next 3 weeks, obviously in division, and they'd like to get both of those wins.
So he's tested for COVID. It's not COVID. It's just sick.
No. I mean, he's, from what I understand, he's unvaccinated.
Yeah, but he couldn't be around the team if he had this. So.
No, but even if he was vaccinated and tested positive, okay. He wouldn't be around the team. Okay. Like he was not in practice and then came back to practice. And that's yeah. It's not COVID related at all. But we're waiting to see if he feels healthy enough to play. But if it's this kind of illness, you can't expect he's going to be playing at the highest level anyway, even if he is back.
Listen, Arizona and Baltimore won games with a backup. It's a pretty good indication Arizona and Baltimore are good teams.
I think the past 2 years have shown just how valuable having a strong backup quarterback is.
Hopefully
a position
veteran.
That used to be kind of overlooked and just like whoever's there as long as there's a body is not the case anymore. Speaking of, Andy Dalton will be starting this weekend as Justin Fields is dealing with bruised ribs. Nagy said Fields is day-to-day, so hopefully he can return next week against Arizona. So we will be seeing Andy Dalton against the Lions. Coverage begins Thursday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern on Fox, and the Bears are currently favored by 3.5, according to Fox Bet. Obviously, the other story out of Chicago today is there was a report that he could be fired, Matt Nagy, after the game. Nagy said, "This is not accurate. I have great communication with ownership, and I have not had any discussions on that." So I guess it's a wait-and-see situation. Obviously, not saying that he's not telling the truth, but he can't come out and say he's going to get fired either. So,
well, not before a game. It'd be chaos.
Yeah. No. I mean, just doesn't. Yeah, that would be the entire story of the weekend and completely overshadow the game. So I don't know if it's true or if it's not. None of us do, obviously. Like, we'll find out after the Lions game. The Raiders and Cowboys also play on Thanksgiving, as well as the Bills and the Saints. Dallas is favored over Las Vegas by 7.5 points, and Buffalo is favored over New Orleans by 5.5 points. So we will have a nice slate of Thanksgiving games to go along with the turkey.
And great Friday college football. Joy with the news. Yes.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right, so we're going to have a good 15 minutes with Mark Sanchez live in studio coming up next to address all sorts of things. He's having fun doing this. We've got really interesting games starting Thursday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Sanchez, 10 years in the NFL. He is now a broadcaster for Fox, an NFL analyst. You had the Cam game against Washington, oof, which is was low-key wildly entertaining.
That's so fun.
I thought Cam had a great throw to McCaffrey over the middle. That was a great throw.
He layered that thing perfectly. You said it yesterday, but over the backers, under a safety,
it was
like before that.
Great throw. So it's funny about Cam and his whole persona. I mean, it really was. You were there. What did it feel like?
This was the smoke, the camera right behind him. we went over the, and credit to Mark Tottleman, Scope, our whole team, because we talked about this for hours going into the game. Like, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to say in the open? What's it going to look like? And we kept saying, Cam, Cam. I'll tell you a funny story. My buddy texts me every Sunday, who you got? And every week I would say, you know, Chicago Bears at Cincinnati Bengals, whatever. I'd say the game. This week, and I did it subconsciously, all I said was C-A-M and send, Cam. And he just dominated the news cycle. He dominates everything in that building, and you don't even think about it, but it, the more we were spinning over it, like, okay, how do we want to talk about it? How do we want to talk about it? And then it was like, why are we saying anything? Just introduce Cam. Let him do the rest. You saw him.
Right.
I mean, he has all the Joy said it yesterday. The pageantry. I mean, he plays right into it. It's yeah. like a little bit of WWE right. in there where he's running to the center logo and putting the ball down and firing
and the crowd
up the crowd.
Responds to it.
Oh, my God. It was like the prodigal son returning. Everybody. Cam can do no wrong in that city, in the yeah. Queen City of Charlotte. Like, he's their guy. And yeah. so it was an electric atmosphere. It was a fun game to call. I thought the opening was awesome. Yeah. And we didn't have to do much. We just kind of let him take it away, and he nailed it.
Jason Garrett just got fired as the OC for the Giants, and my takeaway was it's the third year on him. They want to see him with a new coordinator for 6 or 7 weeks because sure. Baker Mayfield and Freddie Kitchens worked.
Right.
And so the Mara family and Joe Judge are like, okay, we could stay with Garrett. Let's give us 6 games with Daniel and Freddie. Is sure. there a little magic?
Yeah, I think,
and if
yeah.
not, Mark, it may be time.
I think it's more to find out what else there could be for Daniel Jones than, hey, Jason Garrett just isn't it. Like, I think it's more because they're curious. And instead of limiting their options, as you mentioned, let's find out. Let's just see.
It doesn't look good, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough. And a lot of that is inconsistency in roster, the lineup every week, having new guys, new receivers this year, new offensive system installed during COVID. Like, that's hard for a rookie quarterback. That's hard for a veteran quarterback. I mean, you saw Tom Brady last year. They were 7-5 at the break, right? I mean, it took some time for this whole thing to really get off the ground. And they went on a whatever 7-8 game winning streak
yeah.
and won the Super Bowl. But there were games in there where you're like, whoa, maybe, I mean, this is the best to ever do it. And he's learning a new system. He's throwing it down the field more than he ever had. You know, when you learn a new terminology, it's a new language, it's new players, it's a new environment, it's a new routine. There's a lot to be said for that. And everybody wants it right now. So, as much as, you know, you feel for somebody like Jason Garrett because he's trying to get it right, trying to help out, there's a lot of other factors at play there.
But Justin Herbert walked into a bad old line, yeah, set records. And to me, I look at him, I said this yesterday, he's Andrew Luck, but less reckless. I think he's that special.
He's definitely that special. He can get out of some precarious situations in the backfield. Because guys literally just bounce off him at times because he's so big. You underestimate it. Cam was the same way. You forget how massive this guy is.
TJ Hushmanzada told me 2 years ago before he played, he goes, calves, shoulders.
Oh.
He goes, looks like a linebacker.
It's crazy. I mean, he looks like a tight end or something. You're like, whoa. And then the ball just jumps out of his hand. He's learning how to check it down. He's learning how to stay in games late where some guys would have might have tried to just do a little too much, and then you see the arm angle right there where he's stepping up in the pocket, remains a passer. His usually bad plays happen when the quarterback's shoulders get parallel to the line of scrimmage. You want to try and stay perpendicular, if you can.
Yeah.
But when you go parallel to the line of scrimmage, it's I'm taking off or I'm flicking this ball to someone, and he has that throw right there, that drop the elbow, and the ball doesn't sail because he has a control. That is really – it looks simple. The guy's right in front of you, but sometimes those are the toughest ones to get the right juice on without just firing a rocket at that guy and bounces up and intercepted kind of thing. But I just felt like he managed the ebbs and flows of that game, the peaks and troughs of the wave, and was just steady on the ship. And he has that demeanor, right, where – and Coach Lombardi told us in a production meeting a couple weeks ago, he said, I remind him about how Drew was when – everything on the outside gets so chaotic. That environment is so adverse and just crazy around you. You know, I just want you to have an even lower heartbeat. I just want you to be even more calm. that's how you fight that. That's how you counterbalance what's going on around you. And he absolutely has that. It's really impressive.
So, you know, I've always used the term quarterback heel. We want our presidents to be presidential.
Sure.
Above the fray.
Of course.
I've always said, I want my quarterbacks to be quarterback heel. Boring. Sometimes right. You go to the podium and you just eat it.
No
you
doubt.
You just go, you know.
Fall on the sword and wear it. Yeah, I get it.
Baker does not have the ability to do that. So yesterday he calls out the fans. And it's like, you can call out the media. Nobody likes the media. But when you call out the fans, is he to a point now where, like, can he come out of this? Because he's hurt. He's on the fans. By the way, the media now is against him
They're
in Cleveland.
On him
like,
hard.
I'm positive, Baker, compared to Cleveland's media.
They're
so, do you think can he reemerge out of this?
Time and winning can heal anything, right? I really believe that. As long as he wins. Right. Look at other players and all their, whether it's off the field issues or media issues or anything else. If you win and you go ball, people will put up with a lot. That's just the way of the world. Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the way it goes. All I'll say, when it feels like the walls are caving in and the sky's falling and it's all going to hell in a handbasket quickly, I got up to the podium in New York. I threw 4 or 5 picks in a game. We went into overtime against Buffalo. We still had a chance to win. We rushed for like 250 or something crazy and still lost. And I remember telling Bruce Spaeth, I'm not going to the podium tonight. He said, come on. And he used to call me little man. He said, little man, come on. You got to go. I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not talking to them. It was a bad game. I'm taking the night off. I'm out. He said, please go to the podium. I said, fine, then I'm going to script what I'm going to say, and that's it, I'm walking out. And Shotty's there talking to me, Schottenheimer. He's like, dude, you can't do that. Just don't do that. I went there, I had 5 bullet points on every interception, and I said, all right, here's the deal. The first interception, here's why. Second interception, boom, and I went through all of them. I said, can't imagine how you want to know anything else, but feel free. You know, I said something like,
how did they respond?
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. And I mean, if I could go back and be right in front of myself and just smack myself in the face and just remind me, hey, dude, that's the way it goes. You signed up for everything. You sign up for it all to play quarterback at this level. Just go out there and wear it and own it. And yeah, you know, we got to play better. You know, we got to focus a little harder. Yeah, we got to, but whatever. Kill them with cliches and move on with your life. Don't fight it, right? You fight it and it makes it worse. Don't run from it. You run from it and it makes it worse. Just go do it. Grin and bear it. And move on with your life. So I've been there. I've done it. I know it sucks. That's all I can tell you. It sucks. That's the way it goes.
So you have the Jags game this week.
Yes, sir.
So you're starting to look at Trevor Lawrence film.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey and I were joking. I said, you know, Mac Jones has obviously got a great spot and Trey Lance isn't playing. Those are the two winners. Really, seriously. It's like Patrick Mahomes didn't play.
No doubt.
You got to sit behind a veteran, figure out the playbook so you don't have to think. It just kind of, you react. So Trevor, you know, he is what it is. He's the most talented to me. What do you see on film that you think, oh, that's special?
I mean,
and what do you see that you're like a little concerned about?
It's there. There's flashes, right? You see enough flashes to know, like, okay, this dude's legit. It's there. It's in there. It's just when you play in a situation like that, it's a lot like pickup basketball. You can get bad habits. You can start to second guess stuff. You can, most importantly, develop bad habits. So in the pocket, are his footwork perfect? Is his footwork perfect? No, of course not, because he's got guys in his lap. Constantly,
right.
Just consistently, he's dealing with more pressure than a lot of guys deal with. And that's just the way it is for him right now. So you start to move a little bit more, maybe when you don't need to, turn your head a little quicker on play action, you know, just second guess a couple things. And so thankfully for him, he's in a market different than Zach Wilson. I think those two are, it's fun to watch and compare. Because he's in a market where we talk about it because he's the number one pick, but not nearly as much as Zach Wilson, right? And
right.
I feel like for Trevor, they're doing the same thing that the Jets really should. Get these game plans, formate a game plan that's just, hey, give him some checks, give him some stuff to protect himself versus cover zero to make sure he doesn't get hit in the back of the head, and then go execute a game plan that's based not necessarily based on winning or losing. Give him 5 to 10 things to really work on. Here's what it is. We're going to turn our back and play action this week, and we're going to slide the tight end across protection to block the defensive end, and we're going to really work on those three-man routes with the back being the fourth. That's what we're going to do this week. Okay, cool. If you lose by three or lose by 30, nobody cares. The season, you're not going to the playoffs. It's okay. Get that quarterback better. Give him reps. Give him something to work on that week to accomplish that week, just small goals, and then move forward. As long as you can handle the media onslaught of potentially getting beat by a lot, who cares? Just move on. Yeah. Let him play.
Yeah. All right, we only have a minute left. Lot of college openings.
Ooh.
USC, LSU, Florida. Those are good openings.
Oh, yeah.
I think Florida's an underrated job. I think LSU's crazy town. It's a little overrated. I mean, guys can win a national title. 2 hours later, they want you out of town.
Oh, man.
So,
that's a tough place.
Just to reestablish this, I think I would hire a pro coach for USC. That's my takeaway.
Pro coach?
No, like a Raheem Morris, a Doug Peterson. They're not.
Jason Garrett?
I'm not sure I'd consider him. They're not as territorial as college coaches, and USC's a market. You can't worry about controlling the AD and the media here. This is not Norman, Oklahoma.
Joe Brady?
I would go pro coach. You had a pro coach there.
Right, and
it's
at
different.
The time it was twice, you know.
LA's different.
Twice, quote-unquote, failed. I'm not agreeing that he failed in the NFL. It's just he got kicked around a little bit before he went back to Seattle.
By the way, were you attracted to USC because your coach had been a pro coach?
I didn't think about it, but they were running a pro system with Norm Chow, and they just put out Carson Palmer, and Matt Leinart was about to win the Heisman. So it's like, okay, this is a quarterback factory. Both of these guys are from Orange County. Why would I do anything different? I can drive right up the road. My family's going to see every game. Why would I go across the country?
Mark Sanchez, Fox Sports. By the way, this Black Friday, softest season with Tommy John, 20% off. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd. Merch, details, all of it. Thank you, Mark. See you tomorrow. Speak for Yourself is next.